Final hour overdrive continues. Darren Dreger, Hockey Insider, in about 5 minutes. Leafs Ducks tonight in Toronto. You got the Raptors in Chicago playing the Bulls. We'll tee both those games up throughout the hour. Al's brother with some filter after the dark and a couple of other things with Al's brother later this hour. We're tracking the Farmers, and I owe an apology to Ricky Fowler. He finishes his day at 6 under. I like it. I'm sticking with him. I love Rick Fowler this weekend.
There so what? What was the Horschel? You gave me Horschel?
Yeah, because I said, I'll take Fowler, and then you said, well, I'll take someone, so who do I want? And I said, well, take Billy Horschel. He won't
perfect.
Win.
Perfect.
Yeah, no kidding, perfect. He's 8 under, and he's still on the course. He's in the lead, and he's through 15, so Billy Horschel's feeling it right now.
You know who's doing goofy things again today? I was watching your boy Bryson out there. It's just such a weird guy to watch golf. Like, it's just, if it's straight, it's so impressive and makes it look so easy. Like, there was one hole, 347, drives it to 10 feet on the green. It's like, okay, that's easy. Mm-hmm. But when it goes sideways, man, it's these weird shots, and he's got a weird short game around the green, and it just kind of, it's goofy to watch.
You know what doesn't get brought up enough is he has maybe the strangest putting stance. Like, he's so upright and stiff, and he's got the, what is it, SLK putter, and he's just got a weird putting stroke.
But I think if you look at his putting stats, Hayes, he's considered a good putter.
Really good putter.
But
really
the whole thing is weird to watch. Like, the way he putts, the way he's just driving it everywhere on the golf course, it's just, it's not smooth sailing, you know what I mean? Like, DJ, when he's cooking, it's so impressive. It's down the middle with just a butter cut, and it's 330 down the middle, a little wedge to 5 feet, and he makes it. Like, that's, I like watching that, but this DeChambeau, it's crazy to watch what he does out there.
Yeah, and he's back at Torrey Pines, where your boy Sir Nick Faldo, who was back in the booth today, took a little jab at him because he was 44 on the back at the U.S. Open.
Yeah,
44
he was.
44 on the
and
back.
And slashing it like a 12 handicap.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Really ugly. So, yeah, good to know that Nick Faldo's back in the swing of things. So we're tracking that. But, yeah, you can have Billy Horschel. I'll stick with Ricky Fowler. Dregs will join us here in a moment. Aaron Rodgers was on the Pat McAfee show. He's been doing the Pat McAfee show every week. And,
yeah, he just loves going.
Yeah, that's his thing. And he's buddies with McAfee. And I think it's a lot of it is A.J. Hawk's a part of that show as well. And A.J. Hawk was his teammate in Green Bay for a long time. So he goes on there and, listen, he's open. He talks. And it's one of the must-hear radio
segments.
Hits of the week, absolutely, in sports radio. There's no question. And McAfee's outstanding. He's a big energy guy, loves talking football, funny guy. He's really good. The show's really good. But Rodgers started going off about people rooting against him and the team and the reasoning behind it. Let's play it. We'll come back and break it down.
There were a ton of people tuning in, rooting against us for one reason and one reason only. It's because of, you know, my vaccination status and them wanting to see us lose so they could pile on and enjoy and revel in the fact that, you know, my vaccination status was, you know, some sort of reason why we haven't had success in the playoffs or whatever it might be, some sort of correlation.
Dude, is this guy on drugs? I think that is complete nonsense. When that football game starts, nobody, his enemies, his friends, all they cared about was the actual football game. I'm sorry. That is a complete narcissistic comment where he thinks that everyone's cared so much about his vaccine status that they would turn the TV on and cheer against him. They think the guy's an idiot? Yes. But would they do that? No, they just wanted to watch a football game.
But there are people that hate watch. There are people that want to see him fail because they may disagree with whatever he has going.
Yeah, but that's a two-way street, especially in the States.
Exactly.
I like how he doesn't mention that, because if that's your belief, people that are pro-vax and really take it personally when someone's speaking out about why they've chosen not to do it or what, and a lot of it was more that he was just lying and being misleading more than anything else.
Right.
But a large portion of the country down there would then be his biggest fan because they support the fact that he didn't do it. So doesn't it cancel each other out there? Yeah, there'd be people rooting against, but wouldn't there be people rooting for him?
Just
because
the
of
ego
his
element
status?
Of it, Hayes.
It's just
the ego.
Whiny.
Yeah, the ego, whiny. Though, to think that the whole world cares about his vaccination status so much that they were going to do what Noodles mentioned and everyone would just start hating him. Like, you are the best quarterback in the NFL, but dude, you're not that big where everyone is obsessed with your vaccination status. You're out of the playoffs. Sorry. You're going to win the MVP, and then people are going to forget about you until you start training camp again, wherever that's going to be.
Well, there's a couple things that bother me about this is, you know who wasn't thinking that way? Was your fans, right? Like, why do you care?
Yeah, they just wanted to win.
They wanted you to win. Like, why is it, oh, great, like, look what happened. Everyone was rooting against us. What, you think that factored into the special teams fumbles, the fact that you weren't any good in the fourth quarter?
Do you think Joe Bowen and his goon sons, like, they were probably in Joe's living room chugging Bud Lights. Do you think they brought up his status and said,
Of course not.
I can't believe I didn't get vaccinated.
Once the game started, and what bothers me also on top of it all is, if that's his mentality, which it has been ever since everything broke loose, you know, a couple of months ago, then use that as motivation. Don't just sit there afterwards and say everyone's being mean to me and they were rooting against me because of this. Then shut them up. Go out there and play ball and win. You go out there and put on a performance against the Niners. All of a sudden, you're sitting at home again at Lambeau Field and the Rams are rolling through a team that you've owned before and go all the way to the Super Bowl and then drop the mic on people.
With Marcus Spears, man. You got to walk away. I think you got to move on. But the thing is, what the hell is going to happen after that?
We heard Chris Long an hour ago, though, say that he doesn't think that Rodgers has got the courage to check out what's going on the other side of the fence. Because then this is a guy clearly who I think he's got some self-esteem issues going on. I think he's concerned about the way people feel about him and think about him. So in Green Bay, you are still insulated within that world. You know, Packer fans aren't happy with you right now. They'll get back on board if you go out there and play great.
I disagree with the comment that he cares a lot about what people think of him. People that would have that element to them, Brian, they wouldn't do that nonsense with the vaccination and all the I'm immune, whatever the hell he was doing, lying about that stuff, because he knew it was going to come back to bite him and he would be the spotlight. So someone that would do that, they wouldn't think like that.
How does that jive with what he just said? That, you know, woe was me because people care about that. You know,
let's just go with the guy's a moron. End of story. Good quarterback, moron.
He's just pouty.
I feel like
no consideration for the Packer fan base.
We got to get into this later, but I feel like he's gotten louder and louder and more of distraction the last 18 months, 2 years, or has he been like this the whole time?
No, this is a different extreme, and it ties into him wanting out and everything.
Yeah.
All right, here's our TSN Hockey Insider, Darren Dreger. What's happening, Dregs?
No, not much, fellas. Just listening and enjoying Overdrive.
Well, how would you apply very different context, very different scenario, this conversation to the Claude Giroux stuff in Philly, where Giroux, I guess, would be considered the Aaron Rodgers of the Flyers, the captain of the team. All he knows is Philly. And Chuck Fletcher, the GM, came out, and I'm paraphrasing, but essentially said his future in Philly is up to him because he's got a no trade, no move. Our interpretation was Fletcher wants to flip him. Philly, they want to maybe throw a grenade into the room. So what should we make of this Giroux story moving forward?
I mean, I look at Claude Giroux as being an obvious trade piece, right? And I think there are many around the game that believe that, you know, he wants to chase the Stanley Cup. You know, he's reached that point deservedly so in his career where he can do that. But he's not ready to quite do it yet. So they're buying time until you get into late February, early March. And then you can really analyze the situation. That might be out of respect to his young family. And there are a few other players in the NHL in a similar situation. But, look, I mean, why wouldn't Claude Giroux want to leave and try and win a Stanley Cup? And there's a market for him. So we'll see.
Yeah. No, he's putting up points. He puts up points every year. And it's just a matter of what the price is. Go ahead, Noodles.
And sorry, I was just going to say, that's the question we were talking about, Dregs, in the 5 o'clock hours. There's a market for him, but you know, it's not like it comes at a cheap price tag. Like, I know he's pending. He makes $8.2 million, and you're gonna have to give up some assets for him. Like, it's, you know, like you say, it's not Arizona that's gonna acquire him just to play it out.
No.
Like, it's a contending team or a team that maybe feels that they need him to get over the top, but at what cost to go back? Because is Philadelphia, you know, are you getting a sense that they do want to blow it up a little bit and maybe get picks and prospects back? Or, you know, have you even, I guess, got a pulse on the marketplace for a guy like Giroux?
Not yet. I mean,
yeah,
speculation on Colorado, you know, but again, is that media speculation? But I probably get two or three texts a week saying, hearing Giroux is likely to end up in Colorado. Well, you check on it and you get the same response from Pat Brisson, the agent, or the Philadelphia Flyers. And it's, look, we're not there yet. We haven't even discussed what he wants to do. And they're very respectful of Giroux and what he is going to want to do. But, you know, your point is well made. You know, Philadelphia, I don't know that they're going to blow it up, but it's pretty obvious based on how poorly things have gone for the Philadelphia Flyers this year that that roster needs attention. So what are you getting in return for Giroux? If you're a team like Colorado, and they seem to have or had depth on defense, you know, maybe you give up a young prospect, you know, whatever else. I mean, you can get creative in how you're going to make it work. I don't think that there'd be an issue with interest, but again, there has to be a balance in what is the ask and whether there's a team that's willing to do it. Because, look, you know, teams do learn lessons from other teams. And with all due respect to Nick Foligno as an example, you know, the Toronto Maple Leafs paid a pretty hefty price to acquire a player that just really wasn't healthy enough to do what he wanted to do in coming into Toronto. Now, I'm not comparing Foligno to Giroux, but it was a move to deepen your team, to give you a bit of an edge, to give you a bit of a boost, and it didn't work out. So whether it's Colorado or another team, you know, Claude Giroux is having an okay season, but it's not like he's setting the world on fire for the Philadelphia Flyers either. So you got to be a little bit careful with an expiring contract like that.
So the Vancouver Canucks have filled out their front office, and yet Jim Rutherford, I think, made the most noise today speaking to the media, where he effectively said, now that we've got everyone in place, changes are coming, things are going to happen, yet they're up against the cap. They're locked in on a lot of these deals, and, you know, they're out of the playoffs. I don't get the impression like they're loaded with prospects in Vancouver. So how, like, what does change look like? What might Rutherford have in mind in Vancouver?
Yeah, you know what, Brian, there's been lots of speculation around the Vancouver Canucks as well. And, you know, names like JT Miller, of course, out there. You know, I had a team ask me earlier this week about Bo Horvat, and that was quickly pushed aside by Vancouver Canucks management. But Jimmy said it best. I mean, you're in a tough spot when you know you need to get better, and you know that you've got to make changes, but you're a cap team. So it's hard to do both. You have to remedy the financial situation and concerns, you know, before you can add pieces that are going to make you better. So I think that they're going to have to be willing to consider a lot of different scenarios, no doubt about it. Take another hard look at their roster, who's a fit, who isn't. You know, what do we have coming? And if we don't have much coming, then maybe we have to restock a little bit here. So there's more renovating going on in Vancouver. But, you know, Jimmy is going to have his hands on the wheel. I mean, with all due respect to Patrick Alvin, who was named general manager, you know, in time, is he going to have autonomy? Yeah, of course he will. And he's going to have a big voice as general manager in hockey operations. But, you know, we all know that largely they hired an inexperienced hockey operations department because of the experience of Jim Rutherford. And he's probably got a plan figured out and has probably had dozens of conversations with other managers, other hockey execs about players on that Vancouver lineup that we wouldn't even imagine that they would trade. And I'm not talking about the highest high-end guys like Patterson or Hughes, obviously. But, you know, when you have a lot of work to do and you feel like you don't have a whole lot of time to do it, you have to be willing to be aggressive, and Jimmy has always been that way.
With Darren Dreger, TSN Hockey Insider, the other end of the country, I guess, in terms of the NHL, would stop in Montreal. And Dominic Ducharme is done. Stop asking him about Carey Price. Doesn't want to get into it. I don't know why he'd want to focus on hockey with the way his team's playing. But
no kidding.
Price is, I guess, dealt with a setback, and his knee isn't right. And I'm getting to a point where I doubt he's going to play this year. But I'm wondering how that might complicate things in the future. Yeah. If you want to deal him, his contract is so massive. His history is so significant, clearly. But I don't know. Do you need to see him play? Do you need to know the medical status of Carey Price before you were even thinking of making a deal with Montreal?
Probably all of the above, Brian. I guess the closest comparison might be Jack Eichel and the deal that was made with the Vegas Golden Knights. It's not like there's a medical procedure, I don't believe, that is going to be exploratory or, be a bit of a chance that Carey Price has to consider. I think it's just more about a longer-term rehab and getting that knee strong enough so that he's comfortable in getting into full-scale practices and then ultimately games. So it's a little bit different, but there's a bit of risk there for sure. I mean, Vegas accepted the risk. They were convinced by the medical people that the procedure that Jack needed to have was going to work, and he'd be able to play this season. And we have no reason to question at this point that Jack Eichel isn't going to be in the lineup for the Golden Knights, and perhaps, and then the sky's the limit for Jack Eichel and the Vegas Golden Knights. So maybe if you're a team that has goaltending woes, you consider that. I honestly think it's a big stretch between now and March 21st. I don't even think management in Montreal is thinking about Carey Price in terms of the trade environment between now and the deadline. I think they'd be happy to get him on the ice, get him playing, get him feeling good about himself, and then revisit it at the end of the season. What do you want to do? You know, are you in for what is going to be a lengthy rebuild, not a small one? Or, you know, do you want us to move you to whatever contenders are interested? But I'd be more surprised if they had that conversation prior to the deadline than after the deadline.
Dregs, it's being reported Aaron Dell just got three games for that hit. What did you make of it? Obviously the fallout is, you got young Drake Batherson, who's an all-star for Ottawa, and not going to – looks like terrible. It's a high ankle sprain and going to be out for an amount of time here.
Yeah, and that – you know what? I mean, Aaron Dell has a bit of a history. I mean, I'm not gonna throw the guy completely under the bus here, but we saw him do something similar with Mark Stone. Was it last week he had the incident against Nashville?
Yeah,
his wires touch. I mean, he runs hot, and there's nothing wrong with that as long as you can keep it in check. It's just in this case, it's unfortunate that a good young player like Drake Batherson, who is having a hell of a year with the Ottawa Senators, is now going to miss an opportunity. And I know he was looking forward to spending time in Vegas and representing the Senators and having some fun with some of the great players that are going to be assembled there. And then you look beyond that. Like, you guys know more than I do about what high ankle sprain means. I mean, how do you know? I mean, you know it's going to be weeks. It could be months before he's back to full steam. So, you know, that is unfortunate. But I could tell as soon as I kind of flipped out my feelers to the people that I trust around the Department of Player Safety, the reaction I got was, this one is getting to George's office immediately. As soon as you get that, then you can normally take a safe guess there's going to be a hearing, which I think we all felt last night. So then you get into the realm of, injury to Batherson and so on and so on, all the criteria, which I'm sure has already been disclosed in the video by Department of Player Safety. I thought it would be 2 to 3 games, so I'm not surprised by the amount.
Dregs, you talked about, Jimmy and other teams, Montreal, wheeling and dealing. Have you heard anything about Toronto and their want or desire, or if they want to upgrade the blue line and who that possibly could be? I know a guy like Klingberg. I don't know if he's out there, but just what kind of avenue or which way they're going to go, or what are you hearing?
Yeah, no, I mean, there's definitely that word out there, they want to spend a little bit of attention to the blue line, but you also want to think bigger picture. When you're looking at the unrestricted free agent guys like Klingberg, Josh Manson doesn't seem to be getting a lot of love out there on the trade market. I don't know. His name for me should be near the top of the list, to be fair.
Well, maybe it's because Anaheim's good and they don't want to move him.
But Anaheim knows that they're going to have to make some bold decisions. Now, do you have a conversation with Mattson, of course, before you trade him? Yeah, I mean, I think he's entrenched there. Would they like to keep him? Probably. What's the price? All of that stuff. But there are other guys. You know, Benny Sherratt, could you make that work? I've always been a fan of Ben Sherratt. I think he can play the game in so many different ways. I touched on it briefly, insider trading last night. I don't want this to be a headline, but Toronto is among the teams that has at least expressed some interest in Jacob Chychrun. And again, that's not breaking news. You would expect that. Oh, my fire alarm just went off. Yeah.
That's not good. Uh-oh. Can you get out of there? Are you okay, Dregs? I don't know if you can
No, I'm okay. But I'm standing as far away from the gas stove as I can be, so it's not my fault. Let's just establish that for the record. I'll keep talking about Chychrun real quickly.
Well, yeah, I don't know if we can pull this off. I mean, maybe you ought to send us a text.
Or we'll read it out.
Yeah, we'll read off on air.
Backdraft.
Oh, my.
It's
anyway,
all good.
They kick tires. If there's a chance that they can be creative, maybe, but it's unlikely. How's that?
Okay. All right, buddy. Go take care of your thing over there. Take care of your
call
house.
The fire? No, I'm kidding. We're all
right, buddy. We'll do it again soon. Thank you. There's Darren Dreger, Hockey Insider. I didn't really get where these were going. Chychrun, I guess there was maybe a call.
Kicking tires, maybe a call. I mean, we'll see.
I like that idea.
Before his house burnt down, I think he said the Leafs were sniffing around on Chychrun.
Yep. Okay. Well, the Leafs, I mean, we've talked about it a lot. That's the primary focus. I think we know that. Question is, what kind of big game fishing or big game hunting do you do? Who do you go after? And you potentially try to acquire multiple guys, which would surprise me.
I agree. Here's the thing. It's hard to judge, and this is why you go to some of the analytics and underlying numbers, because Chychrun statistically has not had a great season, and he hasn't been available some games, and you know, you look at it. But is he the type of defenseman that would make this, like the Leafs, you would covet for a second-pairing guy? He scores goals, he's got a big shot. You know, how good is he defensively? Is he strong physically? Certainly is. You know, and would he play the right side along Jake Muzzin? Like, you have to acquire a fit, maybe not just the best player available. Like you,
Noodles, I'm not Babcock where I'm obsessed with a lefty-righty, but I think it's maybe time to bring in a solid right-handed player. They got enough left-handed defensemen on this team.
I guess that was my point is you know, Chychrun, by all accounts, is a really good young defender, scored lots of goals and got a big shot, big strong guy. Is he the right player for your team? That's my question, whether it's Toronto or whoever else is kicking tires on him. Because, you know, if you're Edmonton, yeah, absolutely, second pairing guy or even top pairing, depending on where you want to slot him with Nurse. But, you know, is he comfortable as a left shot playing the right side? Not every guy is like that. TJ No. Brody has been great because he played with Giordano, and that was the way that he settled in. You know, Josh Manson, you guys know, I've talked about him before. I think he's a hard player to play against, and that's what you need. Guys not shy to drop the gloves. I haven't looked at his numbers recently, but I you know, my gut instinct is that I think he still can give you really good minutes, and I don't think he would be a king's ransom. You know, might be on display tonight. Who knows?
That's
maybe
kind
gets,
of the guy
maybe
that
gets
I
rinsed,
think
and you're
like,
okay,
like
maybe you know, oh
yeah,
boy,
exactly.
You don't want
it's
that.
An awful
but
night.
I've watched him 7 or 8 times this year, and I've liked his game. It may not be flashy, but you're not looking for flashy. We talked about it the other night. That Ratko Gudas, you know, he's a hell of a player for the way that he plays, and that's what you're looking for is the perfect fit in a scenario.
There's enough
what
flash down there. There's enough flash.
Well, I'd like somebody who is physical, who can advance the puck and still skate. Because that's, you know, if you get a big lug that can't skate, now you're just going to get rinsed on a team that likes
thing
to be
is,
fast.
Every team that's
right?
going to the playoffs is probably looking for the same thing. And that's where it becomes, you know, that next layer of conversation where the Leafs have given up, you know, a lot. They've traded a lot of draft picks. They haven't had first round picks a lot recently, and they've gone all in. You know, year in, year out for the most part, and they haven't had anything to show for it. But I don't expect their mentality to change, and I don't think it should. You know, just because you got burned last year, that doesn't mean that the reasoning behind it wasn't sound, you know. Right. And I don't think Dubas will think that way, that you know, it's some, you got to drastically change your philosophy because the Nick Foligno deal burnt you in the past. I think if you feel like you can go on a run and they believe in this team, which they do, then you've got to supplement the pieces that you've got. And if it costs you a price, it costs you a price. Now, you can't get silly. You can't sell like a, you know, you can't trade like a drunken sailor, just throw everything out the wall. You've right. got to hold on to some assets, and clearly they prioritize certain pieces over others. But I think you got to get in the dance
for sure,
and I expect that they will. I don't think Dubas has never been gun-shy.
That's what I mean. He's not going to be gun-shy just because. And the Foligno situation, like, the guy had an injury.
He got hurt. We
never knew what he was really capable of. They didn't play long enough, and he wasn't available to them. That's mm-hmm. really what it is. But, you know, you still have to continue to swing for the fences. So, you know, the next opportunity is grabbing a guy that is, you believe, is going to help your team. When they acquired Foligno, I don't think there was anybody that was like, no, I don't like the price they are. You know, I don't think
the comparison was Taylor Hall. Remember that Hall went for a lesser price. Should you go get Hall instead of Foligno, who plays differently? But yeah, I was a supporter of the play for sure. I think we all were a supporter of the move.
Yeah, you know, we like Nick. We think he's a great player, and I think he was a right fit. As far as philosophy on paper, it just didn't work out. Injuries and the Leafs didn't go far enough. That's it.
You can't allow that to change your approach.
That Nick Foligno, right, man, move. He's been battling injuries too. I think he's been hurt 3 or 4 times this year. Just he's having a tough go.
That's where he is in his career. He's a guy. Yeah, exactly. He's not a burner on the ice either. He's a guy that's got to use his physicality, and he plays in the corners and in front of the net. If you're banged up, you're not going to be the same guy.
No,
pretty clear. All right, Al's brother will join us. We're going to do Filter After Dark in about 20 minutes. We played a game. This would have been like a year ago. I don't know how this came up. Al's brother decided to mix it in. And I guess we're going back to the well here. We're going to play
where
a game.
He play?
Yeah, who he play for, I believe, is what
that
it was. What,
is that the one that Barkley got rinsed on, right? Or Shaq?
Yeah. They do that on TNT all the time. They're like, where's this guy play? And Barkley's like, I have no idea that he's still in the league. So we'll apply that to the NHL. We'll go around the table. We get the Leafs and Raptors back in action tonight. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Where are you now that I need you? All right, so we welcome Al's brother back into the fold, and Al's brother will be riding shotgun, I guess, with us basically the rest of the show, because we're going to do a Filter After Dark in about 15 minutes, and maybe Al's brother can give us some tremendous information on whether or not he sees the Maple Leafs winning tonight, the Raptors winning tonight. Raptors are dealing with a couple of injury news. I haven't seen anything on it, though, if Barnes or Van Vliet are playing. Al's brother, I've been on the air here, so I don't know, but I have not seen anything.
Wow.
But we know that Lonzo Ball's out. We know that Caruso's out, and the Bulls have lost a bunch of games recently with those two guys being banged up.
Still tough back-to-back, man.
Really
going,
tough.
Going to the airport, I think you got, if I remember correctly, this is not an issue, Hayes, because I know you get pissed off when athletes say the customs thing can be a pain in the ass, but it's not like you just jump on the bird and you're firing up to Chicago and you're there in an hour and 10 minutes. You got to take the bus through customs.
Yeah, it's a process now.
Oh, yeah.
It's a process.
It is
now
a bit of a grind, and I don't know, late night, back-to-back. We'll see what they got.
Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah, they're both playing their third and fourth nights as well, so you got to take that into consideration. Chicago's played a lot of ball recently also, but, yeah, it's an uphill battle. It's an uphill battle for the Raptors, and at least with Ducks in town tonight, the Anaheim Ducks here for the first time in a couple of years, so we'll see Zegras and Drysdale and Dallas Aikens and the whole nine. So we'll get to that a little bit later on. Al's brother, you can offer us up some tremendous information as to why maybe you think the Leafs will win tonight. But this is a game we played. We're blatantly just ripping this off from the NBA on TNT because they do it quite often. And an obscure player will be named, and Barkley's got to say where he plays, and Shaq. And these guys, it seems like they never know where anyone plays, which I appreciate because it's surface viewing, right? You get a lot on the go, and I don't know who's playing on the fourth line in Anaheim or whatever. We'll find out tonight, I guess. But Al's brother, you're going to host this. We're going to go around the table. You're going to name a player. And we have to try to name the team that he plays on.
You got to give one guy at a time, though. Hazy B, you start out.
We'll go in order, and then we'll kind of go. I'll keep track and tally, and we'll see who wins at the end of the day.
All right. So, first player, where does he play? Tanner Janot. One of those two.
You probably get his name right. Who's going first here?
I'll go. Nashville Predators.
Yeah.
That's correct.
That's pretty good.
All right. This one's for you, Hazy B. This one's for you. Good. Travis Boyd.
Travis Boyd.
Can we steal?
If he gets it wrong, we could move and you could get a steal in.
I want to say he's in Washington, but... I mean,
no guy. No answer.
No. If you're telling me no, I know he was in Washington recently. I don't know. I mean,
he's
on your list
of irrelevant teams.
He's on my list. Okay, I'll say New Jersey then.
No, Arizona.
Arizona.
Yes, sir.
There you go. Good steal, Noodles on
there
the board.
There it is. Noodles with the steal. All right, Noodles. This one's for you, Alex Texier.
Ooh, that's what I know.
Yeah, Columbus.
That's right, sneaky little devil.
He's a good player.
Good player.
Good skater.
Got that shootout move.
Yeah.
Yeah, that little poke, the little fire poker five hole. He's got that little. Yeah, he's a good
player.
Very
relevant team, Columbus. Very relevant.
Having a nice season. Real nice season. How about this one for you, O-Dog? Mackenzie Entwistle.
Chicago Blackhawks.
Wow.
How are you getting on these so quickly?
I was not expecting that.
What do you think we do every
pull
night?
That one.
Yeah, I don't know. Watch football, basketball, baseball, shows, Ozark. I don't know. Who's watching a Chicago Blackhawk game to pick that one off? Credit to you guys.
I was watching Yotes Blackhawks on a Tuesday night. That's
like
what he's watching.
Gotta do it.
All right.
Who's up next? Hazy B up next. Let's filter in a defenseman here.
I like it. This is my wheelhouse.
Let's go with former defenseman. Let's go with Alex Goligoski.
Goligoski.
Can I put in there?
You guys know all of these guys.
Yeah, it's so easy.
He's not in. I have no idea where Alex Goligoski plays. I have no idea. I don't remember the last time I saw his name.
You're a moron.
I guess I got to throw. I got to throw a team out.
He was in Arizona. He was.
Yeah, he was. I'll say Philly.
No. You're a moron.
Noodles, you can steal. You're up
next. I'll let you steal. You can have
Minnesota.
Who do you think
he was injured? He was injured and then came back. So he's a good player, but older.
This whole game me not getting him and then you guys stealing. Basically. Just take me out of it. I'm losing. Like, you two go and figure it out.
Pretty sure this is what happened last time, too. Though it was basically over Noodles.
I don't get any of these right.
No.
I won't. Go ahead. Noodles.
Noodles, you're up next. Why don't we go with we'll stick with the defenseman. Yanni Hakanpaa.
Florida.
Like it.
No. Dallas Stars.
Yanni
Hakanpaa.
Yeah, you know what?
These are really good names, though, man. This is as far down the list. Like, there's no way people driving around or watching know where any of these guys play.
Yanni Hakanpaa.
You know why I get
year.
Him messed up? Because I thought it was Ole Ulevi. That's right. That's on me.
Ole Ulevi.
You
bust of your Vancouver Canucks.
Sounds the same.
The biggest bust in Vancouver Canucks history, Oz brother.
He is.
Go ahead.
All right. O's on the clock now. Jeez, I got to try and get you with one of these here. How about Jonathan Dolan?
Jonathan Dolan?
Yes.
Never heard of the guy.
Go ahead.
Ottawa Senator Canucks prospect. Now he's with the.
Hold on.
Anyone with a steal?
I think I know. You said he's not San Jose in Vancouver anymore? Okay, San Jose, yeah. I remember him in Vancouver because he had a cup of coffee out there.
I think if you pronounce the name, like I think of Alf Dahlin, you kind of got me with something.
I did a San Jose game in November, and I remember I think we talked about the dad or whatever, the Dahlin dad type of thing.
Okay. He's had a decent year. He's got 16 points so far on the season. Not doing
Vancouver
half bad.
Another Vancouver prospect at one point, Els brother.
Yeah. Yes, he was. Okay. All right. Who we got up next? We've got you, Hazy B, still looking for his first
point. I'm
going to
get one here. I know it. I'm feeling it.
I think you'll get this
Pierre
one.
Engvall.
No, I think you'll get this one based on recency. Mm-hmm. Spencer Martin.
Oh, there you go.
Spencer Martin.
He has no idea.
You do.
Oh, come on.
Look at me, Hayes. Look at me, Hayes.
Spencer Martin. Tendy. He's a goalie.
It's a Tendy.
I know he's a goalie, but
and he played last night and allowed an overtime goal.
Vancouver. There it is. The Canucks. Yes.
But he was he doesn't get that. He doesn't get it.
The only reason, honestly.
We just talked about him yesterday because Demko's out and Halak is out. We literally were talking about him
yesterday. Yeah, but Noodles had to do jazz hands, and you were a mess.
I don't care if I get the point. Don't give me the point. I knew he was a goalie, but then I'm like, I don't know. I blanked on the whole
thing. He was unbelievable last night. Unbelievable.
47 saves.
They're down 2-0. Big comeback win for the Oilers last night.
We didn't even talk about that.
Yeah, we got to give them credit where it's due. We bury them when they lose, but when they win, it's 6:40. We're like, oh yeah, that was a nice win. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
I haven't talked about him once yet.
Two straight on a roll.
Dude, I get a point there. I'll take that. Thank you.
You got Noodles. A point. You get a point.
There you go. I'm out now. Perfect.
Noodles. Noodles is up next. Where does Yegor Chinnikov play? Yegor Chinnikov.
I saw his name, I swear, last night.
Detroit?
Wrong!
Correct. O-Dog, you can get the steal here. He's a very, very young player. I believe he's rookie this season.
Yegor Chinnikov.
I don't know.
Yegor Chinnikov? That's his name? Yegor Chinnikov?
Yegor.
Is it like spelled like Yegor,
I never heard of no Yegor Chinnikov, man. Come on.
Y-E-G-O-R Chinnikov.
Yegor Chinnikov?
Oh, you know what?
Columbus.
But
that's right.
You know what? I was going to say Jersey.
Dude, you Googled it, you joke show.
I don't know who this guy is.
Why, I just
no one was going to know. Who knows that
kid? Wasn't Chinnikov, if I'm not mistaken, was he not the kid who, like, Columbus went way off the board in the first round a couple of years ago.
I think he scored a couple days ago. I don't know.
He did.
Well, Columbus played 30 games, 4 goals, 3 assists. I mean, first rounder, though, to Columbus, 2020.
Yeah, he was that one that everybody was like, who's this guy flipping through all the notes during the –
Let's just see if Hazy B can get one legit. Throw a couple at Hazy.
I got one on the board. I got one.
Jazz hands.
Spencer Martin.
Jazz hands counts. I didn't
know. No, it doesn't.
It's not my fault.
Here's one. Here's one that you should be able to get, Hazy B. Thomas Tatar.
Tommy Tatar. Well, he's been in Montreal.
Hold on now. Irrelevant organization.
Irrelevant.
So guys, that means leave him alone. He's
Sacramento.
Got
he's either playing for the Sacramento Kings, the Lions, the Jags.
Noodles, how's your boy? How's your boy Putney? How's your boy Putney doing, Noodles?
I think he's having a good year in Jersey. Is he not?
Like, there you go.
I believe
it is.
Somebody
correct.
Text you that, man. I'm sorry.
No one's texting.
Well,
you
I just said it,
dude. I swear to God, I know that somebody's texting you.
Nobody
cares. You had no idea. And then all of a sudden he's like, of course. And he went like this.
That would be really, really greasy to have someone text you an answer while you're partaking in, you know, trivia.
I know it is. And that is exactly what you did.
I care about Thomas Tatar playing in Jersey or Montreal or wherever Vegas.
He's a good player and a good guy.
Good player. Good guy. Very relevant. Shout out to the Devils. Love him. I'm on the board. That's 2 points for me. I'm feeling good.
That's two on the board for you, and currently O with 4, Noodles with 3. So Noodles can tie O-Dog with this one. Let's see where your Tendy knowledge is at, Noodles. Where's Jerry Sparks at right now?
L.A. He's in the minors. But L.A.
He's had a cup of coffee up there, though.
Why don't you give him more of a layup, Al's brother? He's got depth charts of goaltenders stacked in his office, you moron. Why would you give him
that?
Guy played one game this season.
So what? He still knows who he played it for.
It was a heroic game. But it was, Jerry Sparks.
All right, so you two are tied. I'm out. You guys play for the title here, I guess, right?
All right.
And we're not doing NFL overtime rules. Like, you both get a shot. I think that's fair, right? They're both tied at 4.
Yeah.
Until someone loses or gets it. There's no there's no takers from the other guy.
No steals or anything.
No. Just you answer it or not. Go ahead.
Go ahead. All right. Brother.
So here it is. O-Dog, Will Butcher.
Will Butcher, left-handed defenseman. I thought he was in New Jersey.
You're a moron!
That's Vegas. Where he started his career, out of college.
Didn't they Did Vegas? You say
Vegas? Yeah.
Incorrect. He is currently with the Buffalo Sabres.
Oh, yeah.
Buffalo Big Sabres. Bill okay, that was your chance.
Bill the Butcher. Chance. I like it.
Almost
Bill
had a chance
butcher.
To steal. Yeah.
All right, Noodles.
No, there's no steals. No I got steal. It wrong, Noodles. Here's your. You can win it right here.
Yeah, yeah you okay. can win it right here. You can win it right here. Let's go with, we got one more name that I think, we'll see. Former Maple Leaf, Josh Levo.
Oh, Carolina.
Just
scored the other night.
Dude, you're a joke show. Like, you just scored former the other Leaf? Night. Come on.
Former Canucks.
Well, but I mean, you know what? There's probably not a lot of people know that he was in Carolina, to be honest.
No.
He scored
I
a nice goal
until I looked
night.
It up.
Like, this is what you guys really? Do for a living and everything. I'm telling you, the average hockey fan has no idea that Josh Levo is still even playing.
How about this one, Noodles? How about this one? If that one was too easy, if you get this one, you win. Here's the name. Frederick Gaudreau.
Freddie Gaudreau.
Freddie Gaudreau in Minnesota? Or
that's right, what? You sneaky little
right-handed
devil.
Shot centerman. He's good.
There you go. All right.
There you go.
I like it.
So Noodles gets the dub.
There it is. And it's either everyone else is tied. You either win or you're tied.
Yeah.
Where he play. That's where he play.
I like it. I like it. I like it a lot. Okay, Al's brother, good work, buddy. And I guess you're sticking around. Do we have a filter after dark that we're going to do? And
oh, yeah.
Maybe you got some tremendous information on the Leafs, why you think the Leafs could be ready for a W tonight. Make sure you got something in the chamber there that people want to know. So we'll get to that more coming up. We'll tee up the Leafs and Raptors. A little filter after dark. Al's brother sticking around. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
No filter? Interesting. Surprised you don't have a filter.
All right, so the filter is something we brought back this afternoon. Al's brother was a big part of it. And we have the filter after dark, which we know what that means. We have
one more
horny
filter after dark.
There it is. Al's brother, you've got one more in the chamber you want to possibly tweet out, or someone's going to tweet out, and it has to go through us first to make sure it hits the Twitter sphere. So go ahead, take it away.
Well, this one comes from an old pal of O-Dogs and a new pal of your Hazy B. Darcy Tucker wants to know, Hazy B's best score this summer will start with a 6. Guaranteed.
Wow.
You send it, you end it.
God.
What are you doing here, fellas?
My boy, I love it. That's
that is rich. So that means you're going sub-70 at the Coppenwood this summer. Hazy
what's your
B?
High? What's your high, Hayes? What's your highest that you shot?
The lowest, the best shot? At that course, 77. O was there for it. He witnessed it live. That
I
was
did.
Legit.
It was legit, yeah.
Right.
Could you shave 7 off of your PB and get sub-70? What do you do with that tweet?
I have to say.
And be real.
I got to be. This is self-awareness. That's a ridiculous tweet. There's no way I'm shooting in
no,
the 60s.
No, I am saying send it and retweet your own tweet.
Come on. Look at the support for my boy. I love it. Now, what tees am I playing
you,
from?
Dude.
Forward tees, good
tees. The
tees
you always play. The tees you always play because I know you're going to – you made a lot of strides last summer. You started playing for some change on the course. Hope your wife didn't hear that, but it made you a better player. When there's 400 on the table every day, it makes you focus, and you focus, and you got better. You realize that you got a putt, you got a chip. I think you're one time. You might do it only one time this summer, and then it might be something that happens more often, but I think you go sub-70.
Wow, that's I love hearing that, and I'll favorite that. I'll give it a favorite, but,
I'll say send it, but I'm –
You don't
it's
believe
a thin
it for a
send.
Second.
I don't believe it. I'm sorry. No. But like, that's,
nor should you.
68, 69, like that is like.
Yeah, it's you get a scratch golfer, and I'm not. I'm like a
dude. You
got to
make 3 birdies, and then the rest keep it clean. Can you do that?
I can, but it's the clean part. Like I've had rounds where I've had 3. I've had 3 birdies on the back, coming home, but. Then it's a double on 18 and everything. You've seen me on 18 at Weston. I was on pace to shoot. I should have shot 78 that day. At worst, 79. I bogeyed that. I'm in the fairway off the tee.
But that's the thing.
Choked.
Shave another 10 strokes off of that when you were playing well.
Exactly. Let me ask you, though. I've asked you this a bunch of times. How much range time? For
Not
real?
A ton. I mean, it's...
So you hit 10 balls before you play, and then that's your range time.
Yeah. I'll take out like a sandwich, hit a few balls. Maybe a 7-iron, hit a couple of drives, and then go and tee off. Like, that's
So you never went there on an off day, non-game
day? Oh, I did that a few times. Yeah, I'd go and work through the bag a little bit.
Yeah, but we're talking 6 or 7 months, and you float out a few times?
Yeah, it wasn't daily. I mean, come on.
Like, I'm not talking about daily, but 2 or 3 times a week you could roll putts, you could chip, you can hit balls.
That's one thing I don't do enough is roll putts. Like, I just don't. I go and I hit the range, and then I order food and leave. Like, I should sit there for 45 minutes and roll putts because my putting is atrocious. It sucks.
What do you mean you order food?
No, it's a must go. It's
you
it's
order
to
like
go.
Chicken fingers to go chicken type
always.
Of thing?
Yeah, like I get there at 10.
And you
like,
bury the fingers on the way home?
Sometimes, yeah, sometimes.
I've never heard of that move, getting a to-go order at the course.
Why wouldn't you do it? You should do it. If you go to your course and you're just messing around in the morning, order food, grab it to go, and go home and chill out. God. It's the absolutely most veteran move you can do. All right, Al's brother. Well, it's been a pleasure, and today's obviously a big day for us. Today is Bell Let's Talk Day to keep the conversation going and to give a hand to Canadian Mental Health Initiatives. Bell will donate an additional 5 cents for simple actions you can take right now. You can send a text, make a phone call on a Bell Network, or use the hashtag Bell Let's Talk, or watch the official Bell Let's Talk video on social media. Mental health is more important than ever, so please join the conversation. There's all the other ways you can join in as well up on TSN2. Great stuff, Els brother, as always. We're out of here. The Raptors are on the station tonight. The Leafs are in action. It'll be a fun one tomorrow. We're out of here. Enjoy your evenings. Enjoy the games. We're back tomorrow at
Gooning Chicken Fingers doesn't help the scorecard. 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.